Hello, and welcome into another edition of the JMAC podcast. I hope things are going well for you. I have a bunch of things that I want to talk to you about tonight, and so I want your feedback and your opinions. Please feel free to comment. Let me know where you are at, where you are watching or listening from. Send that in the comments. Give me your name and where you're listening from, and help me answer some important questions. Now, one of these questions is going on here in the state of Utah, but it's also being addressed by states across the country. So if you're in a state where this is not affecting you yet, it might. If you're in a very, very blue state, then there's no way that this is going to affect you, but that doesn't mean you don't have an opinion on it. The question is, should you have to get a license to conceal carry? Now, currently in the state of Utah, you do have to have a license to conceal carry. I want to know from you, do you think that you should have to get a license to conceal carry? And I'll let you know why this is coming up in the state of Utah. Those of you on TikTok, hello, Baba Booey, Tim Upton, Alan, Navi, Keith. I see all of you on TikTok. Say hello. Let me know where you are tuning in from. And help me answer this question. Should you have to get a license to conceal carry? The next question we're going to answer on today's broadcast. Do you support an amendment to stop court packing? This is being proposed by several Republican senators and lawmakers. One of them from the state of Utah, Mitt Romney. They want to amend the Constitution to enshrine the idea that there should only be 9 Supreme Court justices. What do you think about that? And then I also want to let you know about whether or not you should be worried about the new COVID variants that we're hearing about. The UK variant, the one that is getting a lot of attention is the South Africa variant. Will the COVID-19 vaccines work on these variants, and should you be worried? I'll answer that question for you. And then we're also going to do, if we have enough time, we'll do a round of Did You Know? Just some of the stories that I've seen that caught my eye because they're fun, they'll make you laugh, or they're interesting, or I just thought they were noteworthy. So all of that coming up on the show today. Again, if you're on TikTok, please take a minute and say hello. This is Paul on Facebook. He says, hey, Jay, I think you already know I'm in Riverton. Hope you're doing well. I am doing well. And as far as a Monday, I'm doing pretty well. So thank you. Thank you for asking. After a weekend where we had some snow, it's kind of thawing off. And I'm doing all right. Everybody else doing okay? Jason on TikTok, Andres Coronado on TikTok, Candace Hole on TikTok. Are you guys doing well? Let me know what you think, but let's start by diving into this first question. Should you need a concealed carry permit to carry a weapon concealed? Now, this is an important discussion to have. Now, I will let you know right up front, I am a concealed carry license holder. I conceal carry wherever I go. And I know a lot of people are saying, JMAC, you're not supposed to tell people that you conceal carry. That's part of the point. Well, I went through this process openly on my show. Those of you who have listened to me long enough, you know that I didn't used to be a concealed carry owner. And I thought that as part of the process and to give an education to my listeners and supporters, I would take them through the entire process for concealed carry. And so I did that. And so everybody knows, or most people know, that I conceal carry. All right. And one of the reasons why I started to conceal carry is because due to the nature of my job, which is to share opinions, I would on occasion get death threats. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't know if these are just trolls. I don't know if these people are serious or not, but I'm going to, just like I take out an insurance policy on my car or on my home, I'm going to take out an insurance policy on my life, especially being the primary supporter of my family with children. I just decided that that would be the proper course of action. So ever since then, I have concealed carry. And again, I know the process. I know what's involved. Currently here in the state of Utah, it means you have to go down and you have to take a class. Now, interestingly enough, in the class currently prescribed by law in the state of Utah, you never actually put your hand on a firearm. Did you know this? You never actually fire a gun. It's all an orientation on how you should behave with that gun. What should you do if you're pulled over and there's a police officer? What happens if you are involved in a shooting? What should you do next? What should you be concerned about if you ever have to draw your weapon, such as collateral damage and those types of things? So it's purely, in the state of Utah, concealed carry is purely informational. And then you go through an extensive background check. Once approved, you get your concealed carry license, and then you're able to conceal your weapon. Now, the other thing that's very interesting to me, besides the fact that you never even put your hands on a weapon in the state of Utah to get a license, is that you can open carry without a license in the state of Utah. So you don't need a license at all if you want to, you know, strap that weapon to your belt or carry it around with you. You can open carry. I believe that the rule is that you have to be, there has to be two steps away from being able to fire that weapon if you're open carrying. So that means you can't have a round in the chamber, for example, if you want to open carry, if I remember right, as far as how the laws are written in the state of Utah. So that should give you a little bit of a primer on the laws here in the state of Utah. Now, let me tell you what I feel about whether or not you can should have to conceal carry. And please tell me if you believe that you should have to have a license to conceal carry. Here's one of the things that has bothered me the entire time about the requirement to get a license to conceal carry. Is that I'm going to go through this process. I'm going to take the class. I'm going to pay money for the class. I'm going to pay money for the background check. And I'm going to wander around. And my goal is to never, ever pull my weapon. That is the last thing that I want to do. But I go to the firing range. I do everything I can to be prepared if that happens. Meanwhile, after myself, the law abiding, after I go through this entire process, meanwhile, the evildoer, the guy who's carrying a gun because they're a drug dealer, because they want to do a carjacking, because they want to commit some other crime or just have that weapon with them. Meanwhile, they're not going to do anything. And they're still going to conceal carry. And because nobody can see that you're going to conceal carry, the enforcement of a concealed carry license is what? Only after the fact. Only after you're found to have had the weapon and have concealed it. Well, what are the chances that that's going to happen? Only if you've committed a crime, basically, would you ever be searched and then they find that weapon, and that's when accountability kicks in. So it's a law that really has no meat on the bone whatsoever. And it's a law that punishes the law abiding, but those who want to break the law, they're free to do it. And there's literally no enforcement against them. Again, unless there is some situation where they are caught. I don't personally like laws that punish the law abiding. Meanwhile, the bad guy can just go and do it. And honestly, I don't know what the benefit is of a concealed carry. Now, there's currently 15 states that let you conceal carry without a permit. Now, I'm not aware in these states, I went to look, of a rash of crimes committed by lawful, by regular everyday people that are concealed carry. And I don't understand why you would need a license to conceal carry, but not need a license to open carry. Help me figure out that one as well. The long and short of it, what I'm trying to get to is that even though I've followed the law, even though I've done my my lawful duty to get a concealed carry license and will continue to do so if that is a state requirement. I do not see a need for a concealed carry license. I don't think it renders any benefit to society whatsoever. Meanwhile, and here's the other side of it for me, let's say that you're in my example and you've received death threats. You've decided in your heart and your mind that you need to go and carry a weapon. Well, according to the current plan, the current licensing process, you have to go and find a class, you have to take that class, then you have to go and you get a license, and then you have to wait months for the background check to come back in. Meanwhile, your life is at risk, in danger. If the unlawful want to, if they suddenly decide that they need a weapon either to protect themselves or to use it against somebody else, they don't have to go through that process at all. They do have to go through the gun check process if they're purchasing from a licensed retailer. But other than that, the non-law-abiding, they can secure a weapon much faster than the law-abiding can secure a weapon. Does that seem fair or just to you? It doesn't to me. And that's why I support the idea that you should be able to conceal carry without a license. Now, what do you think? This is Gordon. He says, my wife and I are going through the conceal permit process currently, but I don't think I like the idea of an open conceal. Some people should carry guns, by the way, hi from West Haven. Again, if somebody wants to conceal carry and they're not somebody who should conceal carry, they can do it. This is the thing, is that the person who's willing to break the law is not going to say, oh, there's a law that says I have to get a license, so I'm out of luck. I won't go and rob that bank today. But somehow we think that that law is going to stop the bad guy from doing that, or the person who shouldn't have a gun. Meanwhile, all the people who were forcing to go through this process, like you, Gordon, who are law-abiding, you're not the person we need to worry about. You're not the, if you're willing to take the class and go get it back, you're not the person that we need to worry about. Why should we be making you go through all of this extra time and effort and money? You're not the person that we should be worried about. So anybody who's willing to go through the process is literally not the person that we should be concerned about. Think about that for a minute. All right, hello everyone on TikTok. I'm looking to see if any of you have commented on our concealed carry discussion. It looks like most of you are just checking in. Guy Smiley on TikTok, Caddy Spinster. Do me a favor and like this video on TikTok and comment. Let me know what you think. I can't put your comments on the screen if you're on TikTok, but I can definitely read them and respond to them. Let's see, this is Roma. We took a concealed carry class given by an ex-cop. We did shoot as part of the course. We had a wonderful instructor. Now that's absolutely something that they can add as part of the course, for sure. And I like the idea, if you are gonna have a concealed carry requirement, I like the idea that maybe you should actually fire a gun beforehand. I kind of like that idea. But again, those people who are going to go through that process anyway are not the people that we should be worried about, in my opinion. This is Orion. I should be able to drive a car without having a license, registration, and insurance. There are so many people that drive uninsured or don't have valid driver's license. Why should I have to even comply with that? The simple answer, society demands it. It doesn't matter if some don't. It matters if most do. Orion, driving a car without a license or registration or insurance is a different thing. How many situations are you aware of where a concealed carry license owner in a state with concealed carry or without has been a threat or a danger to anybody? Whereas what is the percentage that you're going to get in a car accident? The percentage that you're going to get in a car accident compared to the percentage that you're going to get into an altercation with a concealed carry owner are dramatically different. So you can't just look at one requirement here and one requirement here and say, oh, we require it here, so that means it's okay to require it here. The odds that you're going to get in a car accident are way, way higher. And that's why the insurance requirement is there. As far as the registration requirement, a little different issue. But that would be my answer. This is Paul. Constitutionally speaking, you shouldn't need a concealed carry license. However, I wish all owners would go above and beyond with training, education, etc. If we have a concealed carry licensing required, might as well show proficiency at a minimum. I do like the idea of anyone who wants to conceal carry to go and get training and to practice. And it needs to be regular practice. I absolutely like that idea. But that's for any gun ownership whatsoever, if you ask me. And Paul says, Orion, driving a car is not a right and is certainly not constitutionally protected. So I think that's a fair answer to that as well. Let me just tell you that in the state of Utah, this is going to happen. And we know that because in the past, this bill has come up in our state legislature, and the governor, former Governor Herbert, has said he would veto it. Well, currently, Governor Spencer Cox, our brand new governor, says he's supportive of the concept. And legislatures are confident that he'll sign it if the bill passes. Cox's spokesperson confirmed to the Salt Lake Tribune on Friday he still backs the legislation. So it appears to me that this is going to change in the state of Utah. And I support the change because you're just making the law abiding jump through hoops that, and those hoops do not appear to me to provide any substantial benefit. And meanwhile, the lawbreaker can just do it without concern of being caught. And they're not jumping through hoops. And they're the ones that we're supposed to be worried about, not the law abiding. Excuse me, I have to cough here. Let me get a drink of water. Let's go to Paul. Paul, I can't say your last name on Facebook. The question is, are there greater negative ramifications for having a concealed carry permit and not following all the agreed upon rules and regs versus a person who doesn't get and claims ignorance to those same rules and regs? He says, is the law-abiding citizen potentially punished more greatly? I don't know the answer to that. I would guess that the punishment for concealed carrying without a license is greater than the punishment than if you have a license and somehow you break some of the requirements behind that license. I'm just guessing though, Paul. I haven't looked into I haven't done a comparison of what you're talking about. So I will just admit that up front. But the bottom line for me is in those 15 states that allow the concealed carry, there is not a marked increase of crimes being committed. And the reason for that is because the criminal's already going to conceal carry without a license. That's the bottom line. So when this passes and when the governor signs it, I will be glad to see it. Any other comments on conceal carry? Anybody on TikTok, do you have any comments, Ricky or Dallin, or on Instagram, about whether or not you should need a license to conceal carry? I would love to hear it if you do have any comments. If not, then we can move on to another important question about the Supreme Court. But I'll give you a second to comment if you have any other comments about conceal carry. And I'll just sit here, just patiently waiting. I know it's totally different because I'm talking and you guys are typing. So that's why I want to give you time to respond before I move on. Looks like maybe we've had enough of a discussion. So with that, let's move on to our next topic. All right, the question is, do you support a constitutional amendment to stop the packing of the court? The reason this is coming up, obviously, is because during the most recent Supreme Court nomination that went through very quickly at the end of President Trump's administration, that the Democrats started threatening to add more justices to the court. So we could have as many as 15, 20, I don't know what that is. We did suddenly get a lot of comments in about conceal carry. I knew it was going to take a minute for conceal carry comments to come in, and maybe I moved on just a little bit too fast here. Let's see. David says, if somebody doesn't know how to properly use a gun, should they own a gun? Well, the Constitution doesn't talk about whether or not they should know how to use a gun. It's one of those things. There's a lot of things in our society where we allow people to do things and they don't necessarily know or have the proper understanding for how to operate those things. But we don't have a situation in this country where we require knowledge of use to purchase a gun. We do have a situation where you can have to have a background check, or if you want to conceal carry, then certain states like ours right now do have a requirement that you learn about the gun, not that you know how to use the gun. So knowledge of how to use, that's a whole different level. This is Kyle Evans. As a liberal, I understand your point, but my freedoms should be considered as well. Kyle, what freedoms? What freedoms are you losing? I carry a gun every day. Okay? I will carry it if there's a concealed carry license requirement or if there isn't. How is my act of carrying a gun taking away your rights? Because guess what? The act of taking your life with a gun or by robbing you with a gun, assaulting you with a gun, that's already illegal. It's been against the law for a long time. So how does whether or not somebody can conceal carry take away your rights? I would love for you to answer that question. Michael, the idea that the government can charge a fee for the exercise of a right should be enough to throw licensing requirements in the trash. And Sheldon says, hi, Jay. So again, Kyle, I would just love an answer to that question. Sheldon says, shall not be infringed, period. Yeah, again, Kyle, from your liberal perspective, how does me carrying a concealed weapon take away your rights? This is Jacob. I don't have a problem with people who carry. I personally don't want to carry. I feel the only need I would have is to protect my property. Guns escalate situations, as we've seen over the past 10 months. I personally choose a different way to handle things. And that certainly is your right. That is absolutely your right. Again, when you talk about guns escalating a situation, I want you, Jacob, to do a search. If you're in the state of Utah or whatever state you're in, and I want you to find examples of concealed carry license holders escalating situations with their guns. Because I've done this search. I've done it many times. and there's just not a quantifiable number of them. There just isn't. So I will tell you that my experience with concealed carry owners is that the last thing that we ever want to do is pull out a gun. That's the last thing. That we carry a gun for protection, but we recognize that it is of last resort. And there just aren't enough numbers to say that allowing people to conceal carry equals escalation of crimes in certain cases. This is Kyle. I am concerned about the potential of an altercation occurring, and I don't want to be present. I completely understand that. Jeffrey Martin on TikTok says Constitution says the right to bear arms. But the potential for something, the potential for somebody to abuse their rights, Kyle, is not a reason to take away rights. Could be a reason to regulate certain rights, and we do that in our society. But again, whether or not I have that concealed carry license, or whether or not I'm just somebody who's ignoring that license requirement, does that change the potential for that to be escalated? You're talking about an individual and their rights and whether or not they choose to escalate those rights. Your rights are not taken away until somebody actually takes away your rights. Giving somebody else rights doesn't take away your rights, in my opinion. Kyle says, also, my father is an EMT and has been on many calls where responsible gun owners had a death. Look, there are negative consequences to gun ownership. But every right comes with a cost. I want to say that one more time. Every right comes with a cost. And that the greatest cost of freedom is that people will abuse their rights. But in order to protect those rights, you punish the abuse of freedom. You don't take away the freedom. This is core to a free society. If we're going to act in such a way that we say people can't handle their rights, so we're going to take them away, now you're not a free society anymore. So what we try to do is punish, like the criminal justice system is entirely designed to punish people who take away your rights. So for example, Kyle, if I have a knife, does that mean if I carry around a knife every day, does that mean I have greater potential to escalate to using that knife? Potentially, yes. Are you going to take away my right to carry that knife? What about road rage and cars? Does driving around a car have the potential that I'm going to use that car as a weapon and drive it into a crowd of protesters or use it in a road rage type situation? Every single right comes with a cost. I believe in a society where you protect the right and then you punish the abuse of freedom. And that if you focus on taking away the right to protect yourself, then you're not in a free society any longer. You're somewhere else. And maybe that's a society that you want to be in. And you can fight for that, certainly. But that, to me, is not the society that I want to live in. I want to protect rights with an understanding that there will be an associated cost to that. But what's more important, the right or the potential cost? I guess only you can answer that question. This is Michael Howard. Why your property but never your life? The innocent defender doesn't get to set the terms. That's the attacker's decision. Better to be prepared for the unexpected. Kyle says, yeah, I agree with that. I'm all for regulation. I just want to make sure gun owners are responsible. Well, you want to make sure car owners are responsible. You want to make sure knife owners are responsible. I mean, there's just so many things. People who have pressure cookers are responsible. People who have pipes, so they don't make pipe bombs, that they're responsible. There's no way to do it. There's no way to make sure they're going to be responsible. I just think that that's a fallacy to think that that's going to happen. Can they have a skill set that you can guarantee? Possibly. So those are some of my thoughts. This is Paul. He says, road rage incident in Lehigh this morning. I saw this. And a guy did fire a gun and injured two people. And that guy is in custody today. Be interesting to find out if he was a concealed carry. Or if he just carrying around a gun. This is Jason. Jason says, people who open carry should be required to open carry two guns minimum. All right. Any other comments on open carry? Let me see. Let me get over to TikTok here. This is Dallin. Been in emergency services 24 years. They don't take away everyone's vehicle of people that abuse vehicles. Well, that's interesting. Jeffrey Martin says it's canceled culture. Jeffrey, I don't like the term canceled culture. To me, it's a lazy way to get around talking about the issues. I would much rather talk about the issue that is being discussed and the merits of that issue than explain it away as some wider, broader part of some other thing. So I typically don't like that. Let's see. Jacob says, a valid question and response, Michael. Maybe I also live in the fear of people not being able to handle their rights well enough. I think people who fear their own use of guns or the use of others are entitled to have those concerns. The mental health aspect of gun carriers is part of the essential vetting. Paul says, your chances of suicide are 35 times higher if you own a gun. Well, I think if you look at the statistics, Paul, it's that your chances of successful suicide are 35 times higher. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense. But are you really suggesting that you're going to take away people's right to own a gun because a certain percentage of them use that gun on themselves? To me, that's just not a place, in a society where we protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To me, the answers there are dealing with suicide ideation, mental health issues, and those types of things. It's not removing a particular tool. Anytime you focus on the tool, I think that you're on the wrong path. That's just me. It's just like with assault weapons bans. Anytime you focus on the tool, you're setting yourself up. Because if we snapped our fingers today and all assault weapons were gone, would we still have school shootings? Yeah, we would. And some of the worst school shootings ever were carried out with semi-automatic handguns. Virginia Tech, for example. So we fall into these traps where we think, oh, if we just pass a law, then people will follow that law. And it just doesn't work that way. The law-abiding are the ones who follow the laws. And the people who we're trying to stop are not following the law. And so who do we end up going against? Who do we end up punishing the most? We ended up punishing the law-abiding. Meanwhile, those who are breaking the law continue to do whatever they want until they get caught. I hate that. I don't like it. Again, looking at TikTok. Any of you on TikTok, I can't put your comments on the screen, but I'd love your comments. Nick and Humpty Grumpy. Humpty Grump Dale on TikTok. love your feedback. Okay, keep your comments coming in about whether or not you should be able to conceal carry without a license in Utah. It is going to happen, and I support it. But I want to get to this issue of court packing. And we haven't heard. Have you heard President Biden talking about packing the courts? I haven't heard anything. I've listened to all of his the daily press briefings and any of his Q&As. I haven't heard anything of late about the idea of court packing. But if you're not familiar, the way the court packing would work is the Constitution doesn't say how many justices should sit on the Supreme Court. So in theory, a Congress and a White House that is all controlled by one party, they can add more justices to the Supreme Court. So for example, right now, because there's a conservative majority in the court, in theory, the Democrats could now get together and they could say, well, we're going to add six more justices until we get the court majority that we want. And then the next legislature or the next president, who may or may not be conservative, well, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to pack the court and we're going to get back our majority in the court. And so you can see, talk about a slippery slope or a never-ending situation. Any party that chooses to pack the courts right now is going to set a precedent that we will not be able to come back from. But the only thing that's been stopping it is just the idea that nine is enough and that we shouldn't use the courts for political purposes. Unfortunately, several actions from my Republican friends over the past 5 years have changed the perspective on the Supreme Court because the Republicans used gamesmanship and down and dirty tactics to get their nominees onto the Supreme Court. And that's why the whole court packing thing came up. And let's be honest here. The Democrats got done dirty by the Republicans. First, at the end of President Obama's term, when Republicans refused to take up the nomination of Merrick Garland, and they created this imaginary rule that you shouldn't be able to nominate a Supreme Court justice in the last year of a president's term. Completely fabricated and imaginary. And when it happened, I went on the radio and I said, this is outrageous and it's going to come back to haunt you. At least give the guy a vote. You have the votes to strike him down. So give the guy a vote and strike him down. Stop making up imaginary precedents to justify your own political gain. Stop it. Stop the madness. And I said back then, you know that this is going to come up again in the future. And when it does, you're going to be huge hypocrites. And lo and behold, in President Trump's last year of his first term and last term, an opening comes up. And where was this principled opposition? Where was this imaginary precedent that they had created? Gone. So you can understand why Democrats would feel like they got robbed and why they would want to then use their power to get back control of the Supreme Court. I hope and I pray that the Democrats do not take this action. It would be catastrophic, if you ask me. Absolutely catastrophic. Yes, Democrats, you were done wrong. And I wish that I could say that my Republican counterparts acted appropriately. They didn't. But you've got to think about the long term here. You've got to consider the long term ramifications of the choice to add more justices to the Supreme Court. With that in mind, I'll read to you from the Salt Lake Tribune. Utah Senator Mitt Romney is joining 10 other Senate Republicans to push for a constitutional amendment, because that's what it would take, to counter a threat by some liberals to expand the number of U.S. Supreme Court justices and pack the court with Democrats appointed by President Joe Biden. The amendment, reintroduced after the group pushed similar legislation in the last Congress, would keep the number of Supreme Court justices at 9. The number it has been since 1869. This needs to happen. Now, I wish that we could just all rely on precedent and everybody doing the right thing to just know that no party is going to take this action. I wish that we could rely on that. But in today's political atmosphere, do you think we can rely on it? Do you think we can? This is iSweat4 on TikTok says that proposed amendment will never see a vote. Remember that the amendments can be initiated through states as well. It may not see a vote in the current environment, but you never know. I do think that we need to try and change hearts and minds to raise awareness that it needs to happen, that it absolutely needs to happen. Let's get to your calls. This is David on Facebook. I think having more experienced justices on the court will make their decisions less biased. The fact that an interpretation of our sacred constitution can be made by just 9 people just doesn't seem right. However, assigning more judges obviously needs to be done in a bipartisan manner to avoid bias. That's the hard part. One of the other parts, David, to go along with that, and I'll throw something out here, and it's something that I've talked about for a while. This is nothing new. I think that the Supreme Court should have term limits. I think lifetime appointments is a mistake. It might have made sense back when the average lifespan was 45 years old. Doesn't make sense when the lifespan can be 90 years old. That I don't believe the founders ever intended on a single president or member of the Supreme Court to have a 40 and 50 year impact on the legislation or the laws of that country. So I've seen a good example, 18 year terms, and each president gets to appoint. So each president, and you would just stagger them appropriately. To me, that would solve a lot of the problems. One of the biggest issues is that courts have become way too political. In my opinion, we shouldn't know if they're a conservative justice or a liberal justice. They were supposed to be above the fray. They were supposed to be above and beyond all of that. And they're not. And I don't think packing the court changes that. I think it exacerbates it. Sebastian says it's going to happen. This is Paul. I think when SCOTUS ruled against Trump in the election challenge, it gave many Democrats a bit of peace of mind knowing that SCOTUS will judge fairly. I agree with that. That went a long way in getting rid of the court packing argument. Thank you for bringing that up, Paul. Oh, here's Chris. I would prefer term limits on SCOTUS. People were not living this long when the founders created the court system. Chris, we're exactly aligned. This is Michael. McConnell's precedent was based on the fact that the Senate and White House were controlled by opposing forces. Not that it makes it okay, but just based on what McConnell actually said in 2016 versus 2020, I don't think hypocrite is fair. Sleazy though, yeah. No, I've looked at every single detail. To me, it is absolute blatant hypocrisy. Blatant hypocrisy. And they know it. And people like Lindsey Graham know it. Remember, we played the clip of Lindsey Graham in 2016 talking about this, or 2015, saying if this comes up again and we do this and we nominate or we confirm a Supreme Court justice in the last term of Trump's, then you can hold it against us. He basically predicted the hypocrisy. I think it's blatant hypocrisy. Kyle, I'm fine with keeping justices at 9, but I'd prefer a term limit to justices as compromise. I agree. I don't think we're going to see term limits in that amendment, though. But it would be nice. I think both things could go a long way to helping this court. Blake says court packing will cause an insurrection 10 times the magnitude of the last one. I hope not. But it certainly will create a situation where all bets are off. And that's what we're trying to avoid. And that's what extreme behavior does, is it takes the norms that we're used to in society, the norms, you know, that we used to have in Congress, like we would never do this, we would never do that, or a president would never do this or never do that. And then you get some guy in there and he's willing to push the boundaries every single day. And suddenly all of those things that we could rely on just because people were principled, now we have to start saying we have to pass a law to make sure it can't happen, because the principles aren't enough. We can't rely on principles anymore. And that's where we're at now. So I hope that cooler minds will prevail with everybody. But I love your guys' feedback. I think you're exactly right. Term limits for the Supreme Court and an amendment. I think that would go a long way. This is Kimoji on TikTok. Why is John Roberts still on the Supreme Court? Same reason everybody else is still on the Supreme Court. He gets to stay there until he dies or until he resigns, unless he is impeached. Blake says Trump was a disruptor that this country needed. Blake, we're going to part company on this one. No way. No way. He could have done everything he did and so much more without the disruption. If he took a different tack, he could have gotten everything he got done and 10 times more. If he wasn't a bull in a china shop that did not give a damn about anybody else and did not give a you-know-what about principles, he could have gotten so much more done. And guess what? He'd still be there. He would have been sworn in on the 20th. My opinion. But I think the fact that he's no longer president and he left us with a House controlled by Democrats, a Senate controlled by Democrats, and a White House controlled by Democrats, I don't know how you can say that that was the disruption that we needed. It's like saying that Anakin Skywalker is going to bring balance to the Force. Just me, though. Just me. Let's see. Blake says Trump exposed the institutions as corrupt, FBI, media, teachers unions. No, he didn't. There were certainly some examples of a couple of individuals acting inappropriately and outside of their mandates, but not the entire institutions, not even close. Not even close. And the same with the media. He didn't expose the media. He was so inflammatory towards the media that you just couldn't believe what he was saying. People that they did turned to another media that was equally biased. He did all of those things. He didn't expose the FBI or the media because it was the right thing to do. He did it for political gain. He all but admitted early on the reason why he was attacking the media. He wasn't trying to be some righteous leader exposing the wrongs of the world. He was trying to create a situation where anybody and anything negative said about him was considered fake news. And any investigation done about him that is negative is a corrupt deep state. That's what he wanted you to believe. And how many people bought that hook, line, and sinker? Meanwhile, they would turn to media sources that are dreadfully biased or fake news, but we don't care about them. This was for personal gain. This wasn't about some broader effort to, some righteous effort to expose the deep state. It's not what this was about. This is Scott on Facebook. Chris Larson, yes, because too many people do not understand the responsibilities of concealed carry, such as when you as a citizen are justified to use lethal force or where you can legal carry. So that's a comment about our discussion earlier when it comes to whether or not you should be able to conceal carry without a license. Kimoji wants to ask me a question about the election on TikTok. Do you believe there was election fraud? Well, I've been covering elections for 20 years, Kimoji. And in every election, dead people vote. In every election, there are anomalies. In every election, there are individuals who try to commit fraud. So the real question should be, was there widespread voter fraud? And that widespread voter fraud would have to be a concerted effort in five swing states who have their own election systems, their own election officials, both on Democrats and Republicans, their own counting systems, their own everything. That you would have to mount a voting fraud effort in those five states. No, there was no voter fraud. All of the accusations against Dominion have been proven false. The water main break in Georgia. I mean, every single one of these claims of widespread voter fraud has been clear. The problem that happened is we had all these people that suddenly became election experts on November 3rd and had never watched elections, never cared about elections, don't know how elections work, don't know how the elections are balloted or are printed, don't know how they're collected or counted. So it's so easy to show people a video and say, this is evidence of fraud. But if you don't know the system, if you don't know how things work, you can be told anything. And people ate it up. Oh yeah, look at that, that's fraud. Then you find out that Giuliani and the Trump administration edited the video. So, for example, in Georgia with the water main break and the ballots coming out from under the table, they posted the whole video. And that's why Dominion is suing Giuliani for $1.2 billion. Because when you make those kind of allegations, you have to have proof. And guess what? Rudy Giuliani and Donald J. Trump never alleged fraud in a court of law. They only alleged it in a court of public opinion. But in their court cases, they never even used the word fraud. It didn't happen. Prove what you were saying. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to prove there was fraud. That's what you have to do. You can't say there was fraud and then say prove there wasn't. It doesn't work that way. You have to find the fraud and prove it. So, for example, go back and read, and I've read every single case filed with Donald J. Trump's name on it. Every single court filing. He does not allege fraud in a single court case. Either does Rudy Giuliani. The only thing they allege is changes in laws, like that they believe were not constitutional, like in Pennsylvania. And there's a legitimate concern there, but the courts answered that concern. And so did the Supreme Court. But you have to ask yourself the question, why, oh, why, oh, why did Trump and Giuliani never allege fraud in a court of law? And don't tell me that they did and that the judges didn't want to hear it. They did not. Read their court filings. They did not. But they alleged it to your face for some reason, but not in a court of law. You want me to prove what I'm saying? Go back and read every one of Trump's court filings. They're all available online. And find me where he alleges fraud in a court of law. He doesn't. And then remember that this president claims election fraud every time he loses. And to user 545, I'll just put this up here just because I think it makes the point so beautifully. This is in 2015, and we're way off our original topics, but I think it's okay. 2015, Donald J. Trump loses the Iowa caucus to Senator Ted Cruz. This is what appeared on Trump's Twitter account the next day. Do you see it? Based on the fraud committed by Senator Ted Cruz during the Iowa caucus, either a new election should take place or Cruz results nullified. You got played. You got played by the ultimate fraudster. He claimed election fraud in 2015. He claimed election fraud in 2016. There was a commission formed to find his alleged fraud. They spent millions of dollars and never found it. He claimed election fraud in 2020, but never alleged it in a court of law. Meanwhile, Republican leaders in the state of Georgia have debunked every election claim, every fraud claim. That's the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. That is the truth. Okay, let's get back to some of your comments. This is Paul Pickett. Rudy Giuliani will now have a chance to prove his Dominion election fraud claims when he defends himself against the $1.3 billion defamation suit. I agree with you. Because you can't just go in public and make those kind of claims. Dominion is a company, and they have the right to prove that there was libel or slander. Let's see. So I came across a video with Ted Cruz discussing how media can swing votes. I don't know the whole situation, but how can I share it with you? Go to jmcfarland.com. You'll see my contact information there. I'd love to see it. Blake says, I think it's time we put the libs on defense instead of Trump talk. Biden had a terrible week one. Biden did some good things this week and he did some bad things. We've already talked about his attempts at minimum wage increase. We dove into that on a previous podcast a couple of days ago. We also talked about his rampant use of executive orders. So we have been dealing with President Biden and some of his initial choices, and we will continue to do so. Chris Larson says, and those same changes in elections were happening in many states that Trump won, like North Carolina. This is Rick. We got into Trump talk. I've really been trying hard to move on, but okay. I can tell we still want to go there. So Rick says, I'm not even sure Trump is a true conservative. He probably just adopted the philosophy or whatever group he thought he could lead at the time. He just did whatever made his base happy. He cared more about his own power than the outcomes. Chris says, Rick Wardell, 100%. Blake says he wanted Rubio. Rubio was leading until the media went Trump crazy. Blake says, if Giuliani believes he was telling the truth, then that's enough. Dominion has no case of slander. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I would actually love allegations of election fraud to be dealt with in the Senate impeachment trial. I would love for an adjudication of those claims so that they can successfully point out that President Trump had no reason to believe that there was any fraud, and that while he was claiming fraud in the court of public opinion, he was not claiming fraud in a court of law. And leading people down this path to where they believe that their vote had been stolen. And if your vote is stolen, there can be no republic. Because if the rule of law is gone, then there is nothing. And how the president didn't see the consequences and the writing on the wall is beyond me. I predicted him in 2016 when he said millions voted for him illegally and that he actually won the popular vote. Why did he say that? Because his ego was so wounded that he didn't win the popular vote. So he lied about election fraud back then. Scott says, I jumped ahead. Let's go to Jacob. How do we restore the faith in our election of those who feel there was fraud even without evidence? This is a great question. That's why I'd like the Senate to deal with it. I said I'd love to see the Democrats hold hearings about election fraud and get it all out in the open. The problem is that the diehards on the right who believe there was election fraud, they're not going to believe it. In fact, in my opinion, Jacob, there's only one person who can restore their faith in voter fraud. And that's if Trump came out and said, all right, I thought there was, but there wasn't. There will be no investigation. There will be no effort in the future that restores people's faith in the election system. Because President Trump, former President Trump, is not going to say, oh, my bad. And so if any other organization comes out, I mean, we've already had the Department of Homeland Security say the most secure election ever. We already had Pompeo and Barr and everybody else come out and say no evidence of election fraud. We had all the courts in the land say that. We had the Supreme Court. I mean, every organization. And what is their answer every time? Oh, deep state. Yeah, the judges are in on it. Pompeo's in on it. Barr's in on it. The Department of Homeland Security's in on it. The FBI's in on it. Trump created a situation where the only person to believe is him. So I don't know that there's anything that can be done. Honestly, I do think the events of January 6th woke a lot of people up to what was really going on. So hopefully that helps, Jacobs. Jacob says, oops, you just answered my question. Well, hopefully I did. No election fraud, my friends, or no widespread. Kimoji on TikTok, why is the military still surrounding the Capitol? Well, they still have intelligence. In fact, I saw a report today that said that they have reports of chatter about people perhaps trying to disrupt the impeachment hearings or the impeachment trial. And so they are concerned about that. And as long as they're hearing that, as long as intelligence is pointing in that direction, then they're going to continue to have that. And it's very unfortunate to see the military, the National Guard in the United States Capitol. And it's not because they're worried about foreign attacks. They're worried about insurrection. And I'll say the same thing when we saw National Guard in D.C. for the BLM protests. Same thing. Blake says he has a big problem with mail-in ballots, automatic registration, Facebook pouring money to Dem backyards. Mail-in ballots have been used successfully in states like Arizona, here in the state of Utah, for quite a while. I would ask you for proof of the fraud. I think in many ways, mail-in ballots actually can be more secure. Because I don't know if people understand the way the mail-in ballots work. the mail-in ballot is printed by the state. And on the ballot and on the envelope, there is a barcode. That barcode is directly related to the individual voter. Then it gets sent out. When it comes back in, the envelope and the ballot are scanned and the signature is verified. So in order for that ballot to come back, you know it went to the home. You know that it came back in the right envelope. You know that it's attached to that individual voter profile. And there's a signature on there that can be verified. It's like three steps of verification. Now, literally the worst that can happen is what we've seen, and we saw this for Trump supporters, and we saw it for Biden supporters, is that somebody's dad dies and they get the ballot for their dad and for themselves. And so they're like, I know who dad would vote for. I'm going to fill it out and I'm going to send it in for dad. The answer to those questions are not in the mail-in ballot system. The answers in those situations are to improve the accuracy of the voter file. Because right now we have a gap between the voter file and when people die and when they move. So we need to improve those things. But you're not talking about widespread voter fraud. People think that you can just take 100 ballots and put them through the machine. And then if you want 100 more votes, put them through the machine again. And then if you want 100 more votes, put them through the machine again. It doesn't work that way because it's attached to a specific voter file. So you could put it through 1,000 times. It's only going to register one vote per person. So I think the systems are pretty dang secure for what they are. Chris says way more secure than getting a tax refund. Ben Shapiro says he moved. This is Blake. Ben Shapiro says he moved from California to Florida and received a California ballot. Is it true other states were lax? Yeah, these things happen. But do they have? They have to happen in thousands or hundreds of thousands. They happen in hundreds, not 10,000. So yes, we should be doing things always to secure them up, and that's exactly what I was talking about. When people move, making sure their registration is changed. When people die, making sure that registration is changed. But no matter what we do, there's always going to be a little bit of a gap there. And we just keep improving our systems and trying to make them better. This is T. Skinner on TikTok. Too bad we can't have transparency and voter ID. Democrats always find votes in a back room. T. Skinner, they don't find votes in a back room. T. Skinner says, research voter harvesting. Done it. Know all about it. Actually legal in some states. Very difficult to pull off in any type of mass to where you can generate tens of thousands of votes. People saying that, you know, Democrats finding votes in the back room. If you're talking about the difference in the votes from when you went to bed on election night to the next morning, we know where those votes came from. We know that was a direct function of mail-in ballots. There's just no doubt about that. Michael says, what are your thoughts on earlier Democrat claims that the 2016 election was unfair due to foreign interference? How does that relate to the current situation? There was foreign interference. The foreign interference has been proven. Now, it wasn't interference into, and this is what people miss, it wasn't interference into hacking election machines or coming up with ballots. It was interference in creating fake news stories and disseminating those stories to support a particular side. And all of us on social media passing them on and saying, look at this story and look at that story, and not doing any research. And there was also interference in certain servers being hacked. It happened. It's not an if, whether or not it happened. Now, I don't think it happened to the point that it impacted the election. It may have had some sway at some small levels. We know the interference happened. What they haven't been able to prove is that it had any major impact. And I don't believe it did. And that should be the real question. Did the foreign interference have impact? That would be the question I would be answering. Let's see. This is Matthew. Always done mail-in voting and dropped it off at the proper city hall. I love it. Blake says, I don't think the issue... I think the issue isn't actual fraud, but transparency. We didn't get transparency. I'm not sure what you would require as transparency. Let me know what you think should be put in place for transparency. Matthew says Utah does a great job with their ballots. Let's see. Sterling says you can switch the ballots after they are removed from the envelope. Well, you could, except you're surrounded by people. You're surrounded by people from both parties who are there watching the process. And again, that ballot, the barcode on the ballot, has to still match the voter profile. And for example, in the state of Utah, you can go on and see if your ballot has been registered. Again, doing something in mass like this, it would require complicity at every single level. And I love how the Democrats are so inept, they can't do anything right, but they can steal a national election. Blake says, can we go back and audit Dominion? There have been audits of Dominion. They happened in a couple of different counties. You have legal recourse. A candidate has legal recourse. And so, for example, there were three or four recounts in Georgia. There was a signature audit in Georgia. And here's another thing. They did a hand count and they compared it to the machine count. Now, if the machines were changing votes, like it is alleged, then the hand count would not match the machine count. They matched. So a candidate has legal recourse and they can take that legal recourse. And audits have been done and were done. But the reality here is we're talking about wanting to audit Dominion because the guy who lost the election says there was fraud and he has no evidence to support that fraud allegation. So how much transparency do you want when it's just a sore loser? Kyle, people forget that if you get caught committing fraud, that's 5 years in federal prison. This is Rick. Mail-in voting is so nice. We have time to sit as a family and study and discuss the choices while each vote our own way. I liked it too. I like it too. And especially because I am an introvert and I have social anxiety, I really like it. User 291 says he wants a receipt for voting and how you voted. I believe that is available. Kamoji, do you think John Roberts breached the oath of the Supreme Court by being anti-Trump? Not sure what you're referring to there. No, I haven't seen anything that made me feel that any Supreme Court justice has breached their oath. All right, we got into a great discussion about mail-in ballots when we were talking about Supreme Court justices, but I love it. This is obviously still heavy on people's minds. So if there are any other thoughts about it, let's get to them. This is Blake. Did you look at claims of greater than 100% of voters voting in certain precincts? Yep, sure have, Blake. Didn't happen. All been debunked. Didn't happen. And in fact, if you look at most of the claims about that, you'll see that they mixed up elections. So they'll use primary data and they'll conflate it with general election data. And that's the way that you get played. That's the way they play on you, because most people just don't sit there and they say, well, I'm actually going to do a search here and I'm going to find out how many registered voters there were and I'm going to find out what the population was. They're just going to believe it. It's like that tweet that went around. I don't know if you saw this. It went around TikTok like crazy of Georgia having more, like millions more voters than they have in their state population. And hundreds and hundreds of people on TikTok are forwarding this thing like crazy. See, this is exact evidence of fraud. Not one of them took the time to even look at the screenshot and realize that the screenshot was of the population of the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. When you already decide that something happened because the guy you worship told you it happened, you will believe anything. That's the danger of somebody that tells you all the media is evil, every government organization is evil, they're all the swamp, and the only person you can trust is me. Because you'll believe them first, and any bit of evidence presented in the contrary is all explained away. And only evidence in the positive is what you believe. You become ripe for manipulation. And we saw that this year, so much so that people stormed the freaking Capitol because they had been so manipulated by lies. We need to get back to a place where we look at evidence first. And when somebody makes a claim, we go, that's interesting. Let me look into that. That's not where we're at. If it matches our viewpoint, boom, like, share. That's not where we're at. Nicholas says, no harm in making election process more reliable for future. I agree. I totally agree with you. We got to figure out how to not let dead people vote. We got to figure out how to make sure that when people move, that the voter registry is updated, when they die, those types of things. Absolutely. We need to make sure that those types of things happen. Anything we can do to secure the voter file, I'm fine with that. And I think we should. Nicholas says, Elizabeth Warren called for investigation into Dominion years ago. Now she's okay. Well, what happened when she called for that, Nicholas? Did people accept it? Did conservatives say, oh, she's right? No, we fought against it. We said, come on, that's ridiculous. But then when we flip around and it happens to our guys, suddenly we're doing the same thing. We become just as guilty as she is. When we're supposed to be better. I was on TikTok last night and I upset a lot of people because some, I hate to use the word idiot, but in this case it fits, posted a picture of Joe Biden and it looks like he's smelling the hair of an 11-year-old. Have you seen this picture? And everyone in the thing is wearing sunglasses. And then there's a boy next to the mom and he's looking at Joe Biden and he's going, ew. And the caption on the TikTok was, see, even the boy knows that this is creepy. And people were liking and sharing and commenting. I know Joe Biden's such a pedophile and look at this and look at that. Do you know how disgusting this was? Not in the reasons that you might be thinking. Did anybody take the time to find out what that picture was from? Do you think they did? No. They didn't. Here comes a picture that matches their viewpoint. And so they're like, yeah, look at this. It's disgusting. What a creep. He's a sicko. Do you want to know what that picture is from? That picture is at a funeral. And the person whose forehead he's kissing is his granddaughter. A granddaughter who's burying her mother. But here's everybody. Look at this. Look at this sicko. It's disgusting. He's a pedophile. And I had people texting, commenting back saying it's still not right. I'm like, it's not right to kiss the forehead of your granddaughter at the funeral of her mother? What world do you live in? This is how ugly and disgusting we have become. We don't care, though. It matches our viewpoint. We don't care. We don't care. I still have people commenting back about how wrong I am. That picture is obviously evidence of Joe Biden, the pedophile, which, by the way, there is zero evidence of. And there are just as many pictures of Donald Trump looking creepy with children as there are of Joe Biden looking creepy with children. Joe Biden never said he would date his daughter because she's so hot. Blake says, I stay out of personal problems with candidates. We are all flawed. I think that's a good policy, Blake. And Blake wants to know who I voted for. Blake, I did something this year that I haven't done in a long time. I refrained from voting for president. You can hate me. You can say how terrible I am. But I could not vote for Donald J. Trump. And I couldn't vote for Joe Biden. What was I left with? So that's what I did. What do you think about them apples? Any other comments? What are we talking about? We're talking about election fraud. We're talking about claims against Joe Biden. We're talking about Supreme Court nominations. We're talking about whether or not you should have a license for concealed carry. Matthew says it's disgusting how people just take things from social media like that. Very sad. I know. Can you imagine you're at a funeral and you're trying to render comfort and somebody uses that to accuse you of being a pedophile? That's how unbelievably disgusting and low we have become. Especially when it's people on the right doing it. And there's so many claims and allegations against Trump, and not to mention an audio tape where he literally admits to liking to sexually assault women. I mean, if you're going to go there, go there. Orion and Blake. Blake says, not even a vote for Joe Jorgensen. And Orion says, you couldn't vote libertarian. No, I didn't. I refrained in protest this time around. That was first time I've done that. Any other thoughts on TikTok, Instagram, Periscope? YouTube, Twitch. We're broadcasting to all of those platforms, and I would love to hear from you. This is Random Image 2 on Periscope. He says, exactly. Be a little more specific. Tell me exactly what. So I can know if you're agreeing with me. I'd like to know what you're agreeing with me on, or if you're agreeing with one of our listeners. I would love to know. Any other of your comments? I was going to update you on some issues with COVID. I think that I will hold off on that for tomorrow. I will tell you that if you're concerned about the COVID variants, we are receiving word now that the vaccines will cover the COVID variants. that for the South Africa variant, it looks like they're going to do a booster on top of that, but we should be okay with the COVID variants. Kyle, what can Republicans do to moderate and what can liberals do to moderate in order to unify? This is something I've been spending a lot of time thinking about, Kyle. And it's actually something where I'm thinking about taking action. In fact, I have a meeting later tonight with a group of people. And we're going to be asking and answering the same question. And I hope to bring some thoughts and ideas to you coming up. Because there's a lot of Republicans out there that have lost faith in their party or who have voted holding their nose or who want to see civility restored to our government. And they don't really have a place to go right now. And I think the answer is not to start another party, but to perhaps start a movement within the party. And so we're moving that ball forward, and I hope to present some things to you. And if you have some ideas and suggestions on that, I would love to hear it. I think we all have to get back to principles. And when our party is in support of our principles, then we support them. And when the opposing party is in support of our principles, we support them. And that we make it about principles, not about parties, not about individuals. That we hold dear and hold tightly to our core principles. Only then can we avoid hypocrisy. Only then can we only then can we ensure that we are not manipulated like a leaf in the wind. And so with your prompt, and I get this question just about any time I do a podcast now, and it's led me to believe that perhaps more can be done. So I hope to bring some ideas and thoughts and suggestions and to maybe a way that we can unify behind this idea within conservatism. That's my goal. Matthew says, he has two questions here. First, he says, yes, let's take our party back. Again, I don't think the answer in our system is another party. I think that'll just divide the right. But what if we started something within the party that supported people who stand on principle, that supported people who stand on civility? I think there's enough of us that we could actually have an impact from within. So I'm going to be presenting some things to you here coming up with that in mind. And then Matthew also says, do you think Biden should pardon Trump? He's not going to. He is completely stayed out of the impeachment hearing. I've told you, I think that the impeachment hearing trial is just going to be more divisive. I was not in support of them impeaching the president. If it was a more earnest attempt at getting to the bottom of the claims and allegations and everything that happened in the last 3 months, then maybe. So Biden is not going to pardon Trump. Part of me says that would send a very powerful message that Biden is serious about bridging the divide. But then you know that a lot of people on the right are going to freak out about that and say, pardon him for what? He's not guilty of anything. So even a pardon could end up being incredibly divisive. Chris says, I would support a Ronald Reagan-like Republican Party. You got my support. Reagan is exactly the person I'm thinking about. When it comes to some type of movement within the Republican Party. Hang on, I'm getting distracted. My wife is texting me. Let me respond to her here quick. Okay. This is Chris again. Do you see Governor Cox part of your vision for better Republicans? Yeah, I do. I do. Blake says, tax cuts, Supreme Court picks, states' rights, pro-business, strong military, and now common sense. This is us. Yeah. Yeah. My wife's got to come in and get her glasses. Go ahead. Do you want to wave to everybody and say hello? There she is. Everybody say hello to my wife. So it sounds like a lot of you are interested in the same thing that I'm interested in. So we're going to have that meeting tonight. And then what I'll do is I'm going to invite many of you to join us in trying to figure out how to do this. So if you're interested in being involved in that, please let me know in the comments. Paul says, why is your wife not your producer? She could help with the show. I know, right? Well, she works full time. And we need her to work full time to help pay the bills. And that's a great segue, Paul, into asking everybody, if you like what you hear on this podcast or this broadcast, to please take a minute and become a patron of this podcast. And Paul is one of those patrons. So thank you, Paul. And many of you commenting today, Matthew is one of those patrons, people who are making a monthly donation so that I can bring this message to you on a regular basis. And then I would love to have a producer, but currently everything you see, all the video clips, all of the graphics, everything that you see posted here, I'm controlling here live, and I'm producing before the show to generate and bring it to you. I love doing it, but I need more of your support. So scan that little circle. It's a flow code. Get out your camera and take a picture of it. It will take you to a website where you can make a one-time donation or a monthly donation and help support this cause that we're trying to put together and generate. Paul says, I'm very interested in your meeting. I'd like to hear more. Jacob says he's down. I know. Okay. I love it. I absolutely love it, guys. So hopefully in the next few days, I can give you a better idea of what we're thinking. We'll bounce some ideas around on this broadcast and see if we can create a little bit of reformation within the Republican Party. I think there's a lot of people looking for a new home. And I think that we can give them that home within the party. And that we can together start supporting candidates who stand on principle, instead of this partisan, disgusting divide that exists in our society right now. Chris says he's down. All right. So we've got a good start here. I think anything in this country starts with just a few of us, right? But I think there's a lot more. And I think that we can make a difference. Let me see quickly if there's any other comments on TikTok. Well, looks like everybody's just watching. Matthew says, I'm proud to support you, Jay. I'd love to hear more about your meeting. I love it, Matthew. Thank you. And Matthew, I still owe you a phone call. I haven't forgotten about you, but I've been incredibly busy, so I apologize for that. Orion says the Arizona GOP is going to need more help than Utah. Yeah, I don't know that they're ready yet. I really don't know. Listen, everybody, it has been such a tremendous pleasure to spend the evening with you and to talk about these important issues. Blake says he's interested. Awesome, Blake. I'm so glad to hear that. And again, I don't see this as a place where we're all going to agree on every issue. It's not about that. It's about how we carry ourselves. It's about the core principles of respect and dignity and humanity and civility and those types of things as we fight aggressively for what we believe. Because we still want to fight for conservative values, but we believe that it's that how you fight is almost more important than what you're fighting for. Because if you become so vile, so ugly, so toxic on the inside in fighting for what you believe is right, then what is it for? What I was going to tell you is that some of those people who, with that Joe Biden photo, one of the comments I said, don't you care about the truth? Do you know what this picture's from? Don't you care about the truth? And the answer to several people came back, well, the Democrats don't care about the truth. And I said to them, and you don't like that, right? So if you just disregard the truth too, then you've just become what you hate. And not one of them responded back because they were like, they couldn't respond to it. They were like, they're out. Oh, anyway, my friends, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'm going to step away and have this meeting that we're talking about. I hope to bring you more about that in the next few days. And with that, I'll let you go. Everybody have a wonderful night.